Hello and welcome to the Aperiodcast for the 9th of September 2012. It's been over a month since we did the last one, which is becoming less unusual. Would you say this is a monthly podcast now? Peter Rowlett and Katie Steckles?
It may well be. It seems to find its own length of time, doesn't it?
Yeah, if it was periodical, that would be incorrect, because this is the aperiodical, so the period between them has to vary. At some point, it may become annual, who knows, or like every day.
I'm not sure it has to be always increasing, though.
Okay, so I'm Christian Perfect, one of the three editors of the aperiodical. I'm ensconced in the family home, about to have my dinner. Peter Rowlett, where are you?
I'm also at home. I'm just out of speaking to Samuel Hansen for the Math Math podcast, so I've already been talking for an hour and I'm completely unprepared and overloaded, so yes, good luck with that.
Katie Steckles. Yep. I'm at the British Science Festival in Aberdeen.
Wow.
And I've been here all weekend. We've been doing maths busking in the shopping centres of Aberdeen. I've been thoroughly ignored by several members of the public today, but many, many more have been very nice and talked to me and let me show them some maths tricks. So that's been quite enjoyable, although I am now knackered because I've been on my feet all day. But the British Science Festival, I have to say, has got an excellent selection of maths events this year, one of which I'm currently sitting backstage of, and the audience is going to come in about 10 minutes, at which point I might have to disappear. But Matt Parker, stand-up mathematician, who I refer to as Matt, because he's here, is doing...
Because that's his name, yeah.
Yeah, that is his first name, which is commonly how people refer to people. He's doing a maths magic show of the style that he does with Peter McCowan, but Peter McCowan is not able to be here, so I may well be co-opted to stand on stage and hold things
at some point in the show.
Yes, although I'm wearing a hoodie, so not that glamorous.
So I have a question. Are you a mathemagician? Is Matt a mathemagician?
No, because that's not a word.
Excellent. That is also my opinion.
Okay, should we crack on?
You're all right, yes. Let's rattle through everything. So what we do on this podcast is we talk about what's happened since the last one on aperiodical.com. I don't know, why do we do it? Vanity. So the most read things we've had since the last aperiodical are, first of all, it's sort of bad that this is the most read thing, but Bill Thurston died recently. So I gathered together some links with obituaries and things he's done.
It's sort of, it's not bad. I mean, it's nice that people are sort of interested in finding out about him and his life and things like that, isn't it? And I mean, we don't make anything from any of this, so it's not like we're profiting from that, you know. It's good that people are.
I guess it's.
I think it's a good collection that you pulled together, and okay. Seeing links.
Yeah. So Bill Thurston was an amazing mathematician. He was one of those people that will be remembered for a long time. He apparently had an amazing intuition for high dimensional spaces and geometry and shapes and things like that. So I didn't know too much about him. I knew a bit. I knew he'd done some funny shape things, but just collecting stuff up for this obituary, it's amazing the range of stuff he did. The amount of stuff he impacted, the amount of work that built off his. So if you don't know about Bill, have a look at that post and have a look around Google. There are loads of obituaries.
As a topologist, I feel I should jump in and clarify. When you say funny shape things, you do mean topology, right?
Well,
and geometry and things. Because I did the Everything and Nothing project, which was about the Poincaré conjecture, and as a result of that, I had to learn loads about the proof of the Poincaré conjecture. And Bill Thurston posed the geometrization conjecture in the 1980s, and proving that proved the Poincaré conjecture. So it was a really huge piece of maths. I'd heard of him for that, but the article does a really good job of tying up all these other bits of things that he's done. He was a giant of mathematics, I think it's...
He was. It's like, well, not quite. I don't know where it might turn out. It might be like when Euler died or Gauss died, like that kind of huge impact. Anyway, so that was bad news. On better news, we well, we didn't discover, we found out that a glider on an aperiodic cellular automaton exists. So you can tell us about that, Peter?
Yes, apparently so. I've obviously not written enough in the last month because these are all your articles that I now have to talk to you about, which is a slightly strange situation. But you, at the time that you wrote this, which was August the 6th, it was just under a fortnight ago that a question had come up on the Ready mailing list. Now, Ready is this piece of software, isn't it? The Reaction Diffusion System Simulator.
Yeah.
On the Ready mailing list of whether it was possible to construct a glider, which is a pattern on a cellular automata which seems to move across the world, never looping back on itself. Whether it's possible to construct a glider on a Penrose tiling automaton grid. And you say, after some humming and hawing, the answer is yes. And Adam... Goucher?
Goucher, yeah, let's go with Goucher. He reads the site, so he might well listen to this and correct us.
Okay, well, that would be welcome. I'm terrible at pronunciations. He was the first to get there with a 5-state automaton, and that's since been optimized to a 4-state, but you don't say by who. But you did... did you compile this graphic?
I did, yeah, because the new site...
So there's this neat graphic going across the top of the blog post, which shows this glider moving across a small automata, but... How did you make that?
I loaded up Ready, loaded the automaton that they'd made. It's now distributed as part of the Ready package, and just took screenshots a few times.
Cool. Oh, I see. Yes, that's very low tech, I suppose, as an approach, but it works really well. So, so basically, they've created a glider on a Penrose tiling base cellular automata, and they haven't. Done anything particularly to do with the Game of Life, but it's the Game of Life that often gets mentioned, isn't it?
For these things. So we had some bad reporting that I've corrected a few times. Slashdot reported it wrong.
Yes.
I don't think New Scientist got it wrong, but they led lots of people to believe the wrong thing.
Yes.
I made a very good, like, lots of italics and bold and stuff saying this is not the Game of Life. But it's still cool. It's
Yes. And this must be a thing, this whole... Well, I don't know, but there was a story just recently in New Scientist about that we just did on MathMath's, Samuel covered it, about somebody who's made a Turing machine on a Penrose tiling.
Yeah. They sort of had those as two problems that came up at the same time, and people set off solving them. On his Google Plus page, I'll add this to the links in the post for this, the guy who makes Ready posted a different glider on a Penrose tiling that also uses 4 states, but it looks a lot better. It doesn't flutter about like or sort of splat like the first one does. So progress marches on.
Cool.
I'm completely blown away by how pure this maths is. It's really nice. Like, if you read the title of it, it sounds like it could be quite applied maths. Because there's gliders, and that could be like fluid dynamics and flying. There's an automaton, and that could be robotics. But this is completely just a really nice bit of pure maths.
Oh, God, the proof.
Which I really like.
The proof is beautiful.
So I don't want to step on Sam's toes from the MathMath podcast, but he pointed out that the New Scientist piece about the Turing machine story quotes a computer scientist saying, presumably have asked, is this at all practical? Because they have this person saying it's not very practical, as it requires a theoretically infinite number of cells to function. Which is, like, that's why are you asking whether it's practical or not? That's not what it is. You know,
that's perfectly sensible.
and as Sam points out, even if you could get a Turing machine going, Turing machines aren't practical. You know?
They're not a real thing, yeah. Anyway, before Christine gets too excited, we should move on to another story.
I could talk about it literally forever. That's a good intervention. I'm going to get excited about the next story. You lose, Katie Steckles. The next most recent thing, we've got 4 of these this time because we've been away a long time. I asked a question on Twitter about how people write the letter X. I wasn't expecting too much controversy. It's just I'd seen an American professor's page that he hands out to his students about how to write letters legibly for mathematics, and he did it wrong. I'm gonna say he did it wrong. I'm not gonna say he had his own way.
You've learned nothing from this experience.
I've refused to learn from it. So I tweeted a picture of 3 variants. The first one is just a straightforward cross, which children rights.
A multiplication sign, as you...
Yeah, or a multiplication sign. It can mean a lot of things, which...
Hence
the variance. Number two was the one the professor had. It's the cross, but the top left edge has got a bit of a hook on it, which lots of people pointed out makes it look a lot like Kai.
Yes.
Yeah,
I agree, but that's what he was telling his students to write to minimise confusion. You're writing at the same size as Kai. You're not writing at the same size as multiplication. I think he's gone backwards. But anyway, number three is the correct way, which is sort of two C's back to back. It looks only like that letter. It doesn't look like anything else. Lots of people agreed with me. Americans did divide. Apparently the British Commonwealth and Russia are the only ones that write it the correct way. Number three. Americans... mainly number one, but some of them do number two to reduce confusion. So I posted, I used Storify for the first time to get a whole load of tweets in a line about what we did. And it's pretty good reading.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's interesting how many people come out on Twitter when a question like this is posed, because it's apparently very divisive on opinions as well. People have very strong opinions. It's good.
It's very easy to have an opinion as well. Like if I asked you, is this proof of the ABC conjecture true? I'm going to get one response from a poser. How do you write letter X? Everybody can say.
Because of the way the Twitter app works, my phone notifies me if someone replies to one of the accounts that's on there, and one of the accounts is the aperiodical. So at some point one evening, it just started with loads of people going, three, 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 three. I'm like, what's happened?
Brilliant.
I had to log in to see what the original question was.
I need to think
of a question that's got weirder answers then.
Now, we'll have to do a thing about polygons or integers or something. What's your favourite integer? What's the best integer? And then just start a massive debate, and that'll...
Well, maybe
it's just the same thing. It's a very specific audience you're going for.
Yeah. Right. The other thing that's got a lot of attention since the last podcast is, Katie, your thing. You knitted a spiky icosahedron.
I did, yeah. My relative started procreating, which was inevitable. Because they got married recently, and I decided that babies needed toys that were mathematical, so I looked some up, and I couldn't find any that I liked, so I decided to make one. So I knitted, I'm going to say, a spiky icosahedron. It's not strictly a stellated icosahedron, as I've been informed that the stellated means that a regular tetrahedron is attached to every face, so I'd need it to be slightly spikier than that, slightly longer spike. So I just threw together a knitting pattern from an inspiration of a website that I found, and it's a nice pattern. It works. It's an easy knit. If you're into knitting already, if you don't do knitting already, probably don't try it yet, because it's double pointed needles. It's like sock knitting. It's like knitting socks.
I had a look at it and I was put off. It needs more needles than I have.
Start with. It takes a set of double pointed needles which come in a little pack of five. Yeah, it's not a beginner's knit, I think, but it is a fairly simple if you already know how to knit socks. And it is, essentially, you just knit loads of spikes attached to each other and then stuff it. By which I don't mean give up and throw it away. I mean put stuffing inside and then sew it up. And it's, you know, it's a nice toy. It's about 6 inches across. So I've produced one and posted it to the relatives in Norfolk who have received it and sent back, joyous... thanks. And I'm starting on a second one now, which I imagine I'm just going to start a business because they're just so lovely. People are going to want them. But yeah, the pattern's up there. And I thought since people who are into knitting and also into maths will probably be into that. There's a couple of maths knit groups on websites like Ravelry, which is a knitting website. So there's certainly an intersection there of knitting and maths. So there's, in fact, been another maths knitting related posts, which I think has also done vaguely well this month, but hopefully more knitting posts may occur, because I've been knitting some more maths that will happen.
Good.
If anyone
I think it's really interesting. I don't understand knitting at all, but I think it's really interesting how people do that, so I'm pleased you're sort of getting into that and sharing that with people.
It's very pleasing. I like it. Okay, dashing on, because you probably need to be on stage 2 minutes ago. What's next? Oh, what else has caught our attention this week? Or this this week? We have a template for the script. We did not modify it. What's caught your attention recently, Katie?
Yeah, Puzzle Bomb. I posted another Puzzle Bomb.
Excellent.
Sorry?
I tested it. It's a good one.
Sorry, there's a...
Oh, no.
Oh, good puzzle. Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be on stage, she's phasing out from the rest of it.
Yeah.
And will you tell us about Internet. Matt's domino computer, Katie?
I can do, yeah. So Matt is Manchester Science Festival's science communicator in residence this year, having won the Joshua Phillips Award for Public Engagement with Science. And so he's been asked to put together some kind of crazy, massive event for the Manchester Science Festival. And he decided to go with building a computer out of dominoes, which of course is one of his many hobbies. And he's decided to build some kind of adding machine that will be able to add together two, possibly up to even as many as six-digit binary numbers. So that's like 100 and something? two smallish numbers maybe added together means of knocking down chains of dominoes which send other chains of dominoes. Essentially it's just made of logic gates, and he's done a couple of videos on Twitter about how you can make logic gates out of dominoes, and this is kind of a teaser for it. But he's doing this event at Manchester Science Festival, and essentially he's putting a call out for people who need who want to come and help either design domino computers or physically place dominoes in a row, because that's going to take some time. So have a look at the post if that sounds like something you'd be up for doing, and or you're in Manchester, or you could be in Manchester on the date. I've done a little blog post about it, and
I think that's and rather than and or.
Probably. I mean, if you...
Samuel was very up for it, but can't get to Manchester, so he's not much used to.
Yeah. Ideas needed as well. Like at the minute, it's just mashed together, logic, and he's wondering if there's a more elegant way to do that. Or indeed if logic gates, if it's a half adder, I think. I'm not 100% completely sure how it works yet, but I will be by the time it happens. But it's a half attached to another half adder for each digit, I think. And they're all made out of XOR gates or something. But there might be a more elegant way to do it using a less kind of massive... We have a lot of being ordered as we speak. To arrive in Manchester for that. But it should be a good public spectacle as well. People can watch us building it. And then in the afternoon at some point there'll be a big announcement and Matt will do a short talk about what's going on.
Cool. So if anyone has an idea of how to do it, even if they can't make it along, they can get involved in the planning stage.
Yeah, maybe we should host some diagrams. If you want to sketch a diagram of circuits, would that be helpful?
I mean, certainly get and we'll see if that gets together a collection of design ideas. We could even do a post about that at some point.
Yeah.
Not before then, certainly after the event. If Matt wants to say a few words about this, I've just explained about your domino computer.
Hello, Wade. How are you?
We're fine, hello. Matt. Katie's connection is breaking up, so we'll probably hear about 50% of what you've got to say. So maybe say twice as much as you want to.
Size. Cut dominoes. Here we are.
He's right, we heard about 50% of that.
Yeah.
He's now frantically prepping his magic show, so... Yes.
Good luck with the show, man.
Good.
Okay. So hopefully, listener, you heard enough of that to get the idea that you should have a look at our post about Matt Parker's post about needing help to build a domino computer. Get in touch with Matt if you've got any ideas about how to do that. I think that's the top and bottom of that. Okay, so we should finish quickly now. As always, we haven't had much recently, but we'd like to publish anything anyone's got to say about mathematics, fun, weird, serious, whatever. So you can send that in to root@aperiodical.com. Or if you just like to write something and you've got nothing in particular in mind, email us and we'll send you the instructions for writing for the site if anything ever comes up.
Or if you need something, send us a pattern.
Yes, or knit something, crochet something, papier-mâché, any sort of craft will do. Well, what's happened with the Carnival of Maths? Do you want to talk about that, Peter?
If people send things in, is it sort of we'll put it in our gallery, but we can't return it to you, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we don't have a return post budget, so...
We use the gallery music from Tony Hart.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
The Carnival of Mathematics is experiencing delays because of the summer and people having lives that happen, but it's going to happen on the 17th of September. Mike Croucher is going to host that at his blog, Walking Randomly. So please continue to send things in, and we'll put the link to submit things in the notes for this episode. But basically, any post, if it's a post that you've written that you're very proud of, then you can send that in. If it's a post that you've read that you've really enjoyed, do send that in as well, because that's very interesting, even if you didn't write it. That's still welcome. And Michael posts this roundup of 6 weeks of mathematical blogging on the 17th or thereabouts of September.
Excellent. Okay. We normally talk about what's coming up, but I don't think anything is coming up, and we need to hurry, so let's end there.
Domino!
It's going to be an exciting time in the world of dominoes, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we'll appear on the website afterwards as well, so look forward to that.
Yes.
Cool.
So let's all say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.